Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thursday, Cleveland. Cavs now a day away from trying to avenge their first two games in Indy. Rookie mini camp just around the corner. And the Guardians actually get a day off for the first time in a while. It's Overtime with Jake Volmick, with the guys right here on The Fan. Got Jax Gregory running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us today. I will say, for all of you dying to know, the update on my lame hobby, I bowl once again today, set a high score. We're doing well, set a high score. It's not nice. It's not a pretty score. It's nothing that's going to blow anybody's socks off, so I feel like I shouldn't disclose that score, but it's okay. It's a new high, and we're doing very good. We're on a good day today. We started for the second time this week now. I'm wearing a polo. I mean, that's how you know. Today's business. We're all business today. Just kidding. It's actually just getting warmer, and you quickly realize that as a large individual, when you go from winter clothes to summer clothes, sometimes a lot of those summer clothes start not to fit. That's reality. But here we are in a polo, looking nicer than I usually am. And I feel like it's only right that we get into a spot where it's becoming formal now. We have to get to a business side, at least business casual side of things with the Cavs. Because it's time to stop messing around and playing games, right? And I think that you could talk about that, honestly, from top to bottom. Their play so far in the first two games, the lead that they choked, everything that you want to sort of dive into on the Cavs. It's time to stop playing games, and it's time to get down to business. And that ranges everywhere from what I just mentioned down to the way that we're labeling things as well. Right? Like, the Cavs going in, and when I look into a game two and I see questionable for Darius Garland, questionable for Evan Mobley, questionable for DeAndre Hunter, I kind of scratch my head when that they all read questionable and this is the playoffs. And then when you get to the game, nobody's active, right? All three of those guys sitting down on the bench in street clothes, not at all available to play for the team that night. And I think it goes beyond, right? We can talk about whether or not these guys are, maybe they're a little bit too soft, right? Maybe they're not giving everything they have to be on the floor and trying to, you know, play through injury, something that's revered. We look at Donovan right now and realizing that Donovan's probably not 100%. But you applaud Donovan for everything that he does, despite, you know, going through and making a costly turnover and committing an offensive foul in the final minute of that game that helped bolster Indiana actually being able to complete a comeback. But you look at him and you go, well, Donovan's dropped 48 tonight. Donovan's clearly not moving around as he usually would. There's clearly something going on in the legs, what it appears to be probably a re-aggravation of the calf strain he suffered last year that kept him out of the playoffs. And you sort of applaud Donovan for it because you're playing through those injuries. Now, I think that it's one thing if you're going up to the game and you're like, I don't know if I have it today. Maybe I'm not able to go. Then we can have the conversation about, well, maybe these guys are just soft. But I think Chris Fedor, who was on with Afternoon Drive today, brought up a really good point that lets us look beyond just the players and just the people on the floor when we make claims and make evaluations like that.
The listing of these guys is questionable, I understand, is playing into this whole conversation, and the Cavs have to be better about that. They think they're in the right by doing that. Obviously, gamesmanship, not showing your cards, making Indiana have to guess. When you list a guy as doubtful, it's very different than questionable. If you list a guy as out, it's obviously very different than questionable. So they think they're doing the right thing from a strategic standpoint, but it's not helping. It's not helping the optics of these guys. So look, this is the playoffs. All these guys want to play. They have busted their ass throughout the course of this regular season to be in a position to help this team win a championship. You think they want to sit? You think they want to be stuck on the bench, relegated to cheerleaders? If they could play, they would play. They can't play. That's the problem.
So for a big part of this, and Chris would go on later in the interview, by the way, to sort of break down individually where he saw these guys and had mentioned that, hey, Evan Mobley's basically in a walking boot anytime other than when you see him during the broadcast, right? He can't put weight down on his foot. DeAndre Hunter can't really grab a basketball because of the dislocated thumb. And for Darius, it's excruciating pain every single time he has to try to make a hard cut or put a lot of pressure onto his foot affecting his toe. Well, if that's the case, if there was no chance Evan Mobley is suiting up for game two and no chance Darius is suiting up for game two, I think we have to draw the question as to why on earth you're sitting there and actually labeling guys as questionable. Right? There's a difference between looking at them and going, oh, Darius is questionable compared to Darius is doubtful, probably not going to play tonight. And it's within the fan's brain. It's within everybody's reading it, their brain. Questionable tells me that you are a game time decision as you're walking up and they're waiting until almost the last second to rule them out. You're telling me that you're going to go out there, try to go through shoot around, and unless that pain is unbearable, you're not going to play. And it doesn't feel like that's what's happening with this Cavs team. Because I think Chris is right. You think these guys played all year long. You think Evan Mobley played all year long and Darius and DeAndre go through and try to get on the floor all year and get the Cavs to the one seed just to be down 0-1 against Indiana and be like, I'm not really feeling it today. Still got a little discomfort in my foot or my ankle or my thumb. I think I'm going to sit this one out. No, like, if it was something you could play through, you probably play through it. As you see Donovan doing, and you see nobody going out there and taking shots from the team. Like, Donovan's not going out there and trying to take a shot at Darius for sitting out these games. Clearly, there's something more there. And that's when I take out the mirror and I shine it back on the Cavs. And it's like, look yourself in the mirror. Look at what the Warriors did. Steph Curry gets hurt. Strained hamstring? Is that right? Yeah. Strained hamstring. And they're like, all right, Steph's going to be out a week. Might be able to play game six or game seven. Boom. Right there. You have all of the information ahead of you as the fan being like, dang, it's a real injury for Steph Curry. He can't go. And unless he gets back on track earlier, we know exactly when to expect him. For the Cavs, it's like, as soon as Darius got hurt, game three against the Miami Heat, what did he do? Came in as questionable, right? Initially listed as, hey, he might go. Game four against Heat, might go. And the same thing happens for the two games to start this series. Very simply, if Darius was not going to be available for game one, why not just tell me Darius isn't going to be available for game one? Because you hear Kenny Atkinson talk about it. It's like, yeah, he still can't put a ton of pressure on it. He's trying to give it a go here and there. But, you know, he's just not ready to be back to full strength where we need him to be able to compete in a game. Again, then if you're going through and doing that, and on the day of nothing has changed and it's the exact same result, you are doing a disservice to your players in the way they are viewed in your city to be labeling them as questionable. You have to give fans a little insight into what's actually happening. And you can spell out to me gamesmanship sort of as Chris laid out in that clip. What gamesmanship are you bringing? At this point, if I'm Rick Carlisle and the Indiana Pacers, I'm like, hey, guys, these guys aren't playing. All right, we're going to operate as if they're not playing. And guess what? All the prep we did leading up to the series was as they were playing. So we know the impact that they make. We know what happens. You're not doing anybody a service, especially heading into a game three. If these guys are going to be able to go for game three, sure. Label them as questionable, and if they get onto the floor, then great. If we get to this and Evan Mobley's not going again, DeAndre Hunter's not going again, and we get to games three and games four and the same thing happens, what advantage are you providing? They've already prepped for a series with both of those guys in it. And again, I'm sure they prepped for a series with Darius Garland at some point coming back. But they've already shown they have the ability to beat you with those guys on the floor. So it's not like they're dreading the fact that they could be back in the lineup. It's like, yeah, it obviously presents an additional challenge, but it's not something they haven't seen. It's not something they haven't game planned for. I just don't understand, because when you label them as questionable and take it up to game time, everybody's looking at them going, okay, well, if the player is basically making the decision, am I able to go or not? And it's close enough that we're getting up to the start of the game and that player's saying, no, I can't go. That's where you get the soft label. That's where you get, well, Darius is being a wimp. Darius is being weak. And the same thing's being labeled on Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter. And the constant swirling questions of why aren't these guys getting out on the floor? If it's a little bit of pain tolerance, then you should be going out there and still playing. Right? What? Jaylen Brown from the Celtics had to get a pain management injection into his knee in order to play game two. But still went out there and played. And I'm not saying you can just give these guys an injection and just go, all right, you're perfectly fine. Go out there and play. Like, there are injuries that are more severe than simply doing that. But if you have one of those, you should be disclaiming that you have one of those. And that should come from the team. The Cavs should be the one laying that out there. It's not the first time they've done it. The conversations we had in the offseason around Jared Allen and the rib injury that we talked about, it was the same thing. Leading up into the final couple of games in Orlando and leading up throughout the Boston series, we were like, oh, you know, Jared's a game-time decision. Maybe he'll be able to tough this one out. And then you got weak labels thrown at Jared Allen, and he doesn't care about winning. He doesn't want to be out on the floor. When in reality, I had broken ribs. It was going to...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
To be almost impossible to play through what he had. The Cavs are helping nobody. It doesn't feel like they're helping themselves by doing it. I don't even feel that it provides you much of a competitive advantage. And you're certainly only hurting every single player that you put that tag onto and their perception in the city. 216-474-0092. Are the Cavs doing their players a disservice, labeling them as questionable? When very clearly they can't go. We'll talk a little bit more about your thoughts surrounding Darius Garland as well coming up here And you can get in at 216-474-0092. Or you can get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can do our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Got a lot coming up for you guys tonight. 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. Get his thoughts on the Cavs as he was there to watch the first two games. We'll also talk to him a little bit of Browns with rookie minicamp just around the corner. And at 9:20, we're going to help break down the Browns offseason. Matt Verderam, SI Now, going to be joining us a little bit after 9 o'clock there to help us really get a hold on things. Of course, as always, while the station buzz coming your way at 7:40, get a grip at 9. We'll bring in Michael Markoch later on for another edition of Change Your Mind as well. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are the Cavs doing their players a disservice, labeling them as questionable? With your calls and more coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with you guys here until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092. Are the Cavs doing their players a disservice, labeling them as questionable? Again, I don't know how you view it any other way. Like, if we're just going into this thing assuming that the Cavs are saying they can go and these guys are making the decisions all by themselves saying that they can't, like, let's be so for real right now. Like, there's just no way, and just no possibility that you get to that stage and decide not to play because, well, it just hurts a little bit. Like, there's no possible way you can go. And we've seen these players. These players have been competitors. Like, you think Darius Garland doesn't want to go? He's playing in the playoffs last year after having his jaw wired shut. I just don't know how on any planet we're labeling it as that. Now, I think we are getting to the range probably for, I would say, Evan and DeAndre Hunter, obviously excluded from this, because if those injuries feel really fresh, and if it's a high ankle sprain for Evan Mobley, I don't feel like there's a real chance he's going. And if it's a dislocated thumb for DeAndre Hunter, feels pretty similar. It feels like it takes some time to actually heal and get back right. But I do think that with Darius, you're probably entering the territory of, like, he should be playing here at some time relatively soon. Like, he should be getting ready to go, and you shouldn't be far off of that moment, right? I mean, he's missed, what, 2 full weeks now? 2 full weeks with a hyperextended toe, and I'm not saying that's something easy to battle through, but that's probably right around the right time frame in which that injury would heal and be good. But then again, we get to things where I'm looking at it, and it's like, okay, if Darius has got to be wearing what's basically been labeled as a carbon fiber splint, or a carbon fiber insert from Chris Fedor, he basically laid out that's what it would take for him to be able to properly cut without having to go through the damage that he's going through. Yeah, like, that feels like it's pretty extreme, but at this point, you're down 0-2, you're in that spot, you should probably try to battle through that injury. Again, 216-474-0092. You guys can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. Let's go out to the phones, though. Ben's in Menor. What's going on, Ben?
What's up, Jake? About Darius Garland specifically, I'm really under the impression that at this point, you were down 1-0. Game 2 was huge. Game 3 is even bigger. Unless you're going to collapse on that floor, you have to take something, and you got to get yourself out there. Mobley, the sprained ankle is one thing, because if he can't put weight on it, then he's going to collapse. But at the same time, Jalen Brunson has sprained his ankle 3 times in this playoffs alone, and he's still getting out there, and they're up 2-0. Last thing, DeAndre Hunter, what's the issue with having him suit up and then just go in there for defense? It would have been very nice on the last few possessions, last game, even if he can't grip a basketball, DeAndre Hunter on the defensive end gets you a stop or two, and you win that game still.
Yeah, I would say that if you look at DeAndre Hunter, I think if you have him suit up and you play him in those late moments, if the game's close, that's one thing. But if you're like, we just need a little extra defense here, put you in, you probably put yourself in a tough spot. You're basically nullifying him, and you're playing 5-on-4 on the other side of the ball if you're trying to play him in, like, the second quarter, in the middle of the second quarter, not, like, up against – you're just strictly on a defensive possession.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just like, I don't even care if he doesn't play. Like, that last game, if he played the last minute, you win the game. You need to stop. You need a bigger guy. He doesn't even need to touch the basketball at that point. You need stops to win games at the end. They didn't need to score if they got a stop, and they just didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And, Ben, I appreciate the call. I think that, like, it's a fair point. I think the Jalen Brunson thing with the sprained ankle is really hard to evaluate because there's obviously, we talk about severities of spraining your ankle. You can talk about that across basically every single sport. There's a difference between, I sprained his ankle, it's a little swollen, he tweaked it, and he basically just snapped his ankle in half. Now, I saw the play on Evan Mobley. I don't know, it didn't seem like it was anything that crazy, but sometimes that's all it takes, and Evan's a very slim guy, so maybe it took a little bit less even. But yeah, like, DeAndre Hunter, I think that's a perfect opportunity, and you could probably say the same thing for Darius, too. Hey, you basically got to give one shove, right? Because we're talking about playoff basketball here. They're allowing a little bit of hand contact, a little bit of shoving to go on pre-play. If Indiana's allowed to grab me on those plays, right, and make sure they're attached to me, then I'm going to get away with a little, you know, not fully extended arm shove. What's stopping Darius from getting a little shove, just grabbing the basketball, and then basically standing still going, you can follow me now, have fun. I'm going to get it up the floor here at some point, but you're going to have to foul. I just think there's moments like that. And again, if it's that bad for Darius, I don't know the extent of the injury. But you are coming up on the point. It's game three. Unless Evan can't put weight on his ankle, and there's no point, and he's going to collapse, and he's going to retweak the injury no matter what, and there's almost no guarantee any other way, okay, then you can't play. Hands down, you can't play. I think that also plays to my last point where I'm looking at the Cavs going, then why is he labeled as questionable? If he can't run, if he can't put weight on his ankle, why is he labeled as questionable? But I guess if I'm looking at the other guys, yeah, it's game three. There has to be, and to the credit of Joe Vardon sort of reporting this as well, of The Athletic, he basically laid out there's more likelihood that they go and play in this game because the desperation is truly on now. Hey, you have to feel desperate if you're the Cavs. You're down 0-2. If you're not going to play in this game, I think that's going to be the most telling thing. And not whether or not these guys are weak, not whether or not that, you know, they just don't want to play basketball, but you're going to be telling of what the actual injuries are and if they're more extensive than the Cavs have been leading on. Any player in their right mind would want to be out there down 0-2 knowing that this is basically their season. Game 3 is their season. Make no mistake, you lose game 3, Cavs aren't coming back and putting a reverse sweep onto the Indiana Pacers. Not going to happen. Game 3 is your entire season. If you're not going to suit up and play for that one, then there's no possible chance you should be labeled as questionable. And I fully believe all of these guys want to play. But I feel and get the feeling that a lot of you are in a different mindset when it comes to it. A lot of you are looking at Darius Garland right now, basically, and as Ben had sort of laid out, you kind of got to play. But a lot of people labeling him is, hey, if you don't play in this one, you're soft. Right? You don't go in this game, you're just soft. You have to play through it. And I think that's where the disconnect is. Like, I'm not willing to go out here and be like, Darius Garland is soft if he doesn't play. I would like to know the extent of the injury. If I know that it's basically healed and there's just a little discomfort and he doesn't play, then yeah, you're soft. You got to go out there for your team. If he physically can't cut, it's a different story. Like, okay, then you can't play. I think game three is going to be incredibly telling on whether or not you're going to be able to label these guys as soft or whether or not you're going to be able to label these guys as injuries were probably just more than they were. Danny Green talked about this exact thing. He was on with Ken and Anthony yesterday morning. He was also on with Afternoon Drive today, or excuse me, with Baskin and Phelps today. But he was on with Ken Anthony yesterday, and he talked about Darius Garland not playing through the injury and what his thoughts are on whether or not he'd probably be able to go if he could.
It was the playoffs. If they could play, they would play. And they've been able to play all year. They've been one of the most healthier teams while they've been winning. And they've also been able to win without those guys, which they've proven and shown. Last night, they were very capable. They just let it slip away. We don't know the severity of the toe, but if anybody has a toe injury or had one before, you know how serious it is if it's bad. Or a turf toe, you know, like, it's hard to run, it's hard to jump, it's hard to stop and go. So if he could play, I'm sure he would play. So it's got to be a serious thing, or more serious than what they let it out to be the first time, and trying to let it heal. So, and you see, the playoffs is about not only, you know, playing well and getting lucky, but being healthy. Right now, it sucks because this was Cleveland's year, but they're experiencing some of that right now.
And that's coming from a former player.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Current Odyssey NBA insider, shout out Danny Green, but a former player being in the shoes, having gone through it, played on high level teams. Those two play together, or is there a gap there? Am I missing? There had to have been a gap, right? That was like the end of the LeBron era into Darius Garland. I feel like there was a disconnect because Danny Green was most certainly a Cav.
Danny Green was a Cav when they played the Knicks in the first round.
Is that what it was? So they played together.
He came back, yeah.
Yeah, so he knows Darius. He's right there. He's aware of what Darius's mindset is. And if you've talked to the guy and you played alongside of him, something tells me that you'd have a pretty good understanding on what the mentality behind Darius wanting to play or not wanting to play is. Like, you just, I think at that point, would know. And if anybody knows Darius well, it's going to be a former teammate. Again, 216-474-0092. Lance is in Painesville. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, Jake?
Nothing much, man. What do you got?
I think there's two problems, if I may.
Yep.
One is, I think this assumption that the Cavaliers are just going to steamroll through everybody in the Eastern Conference on the way to a championship. What I mean by that is, yeah, they won 60 games. Yeah, you got Defensive Player of the Year. And you also got the Coach of the Year. And we've seen teams that win 60 games before lose, get bounced in the first and second rounds before. This Indiana Pacers team's got a championship coach. Don't forget, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So to automatically assume that if Hunter or Mobley, these guys would have played in game two, that it would have been different. Now, it may be and maybe not. And as far as making people trying to sort of shame these guys and going out there and trying to say that Mobley and particularly Garland needs to go out there. I mean, we've seen NFL players with hyperextended toes or turf toe miss a month. You know, and to ask somebody to go out there, he's a guard, he's got to cut, he's got to stop, he's got to jump, he's got to play defense. That's hard to do with a bad toe. I know it's a toe, but still, that, you know, you can shoot it with painkiller and, you know, cross your fingers and hope for the best. But this automatic assumption that everybody thought the Cavs were going to steamroll, where a lot of this is coming from. And now they done ran up against a real team like the Pacers that they, you know, they had it easy in the first round with Miami, who basically depleted. They got a championship coach, but they don't have enough talent. Indianapolis presents obviously a matchup problem. The Cavs and the Pacers have played six times with the regular season and the playoffs combined, and the Pacers have a 5-1 record against the Cavs. So, obviously, there's some things about the Pacers the Cavs haven't been able to solve since the regular season, and they still can't solve. And I don't know if bringing those guys back is going to make a world of difference in game three. The Pacers are playing at home. They're going to be jacked up. They smell blood in the water, and they're going to try to put the to the metal, because they're going to hurry up and try to get his Cavs team out of here. And so you can put those guys out there if they're 60-70% and hope for the best, but it's still going to be a dogfight.
Yeah,
so
I think to some degree, Lance, and I appreciate we're up against it, but I appreciate to some degree what you're saying. I do think that like somebody like Darius does make a massive difference, though. Like, the Pacers are going through and picking on Ty Jerome on both sides of the ball, right? Like, they're going through and looking at the athleticism that he has, the fact that he's a little bit slower, he doesn't get around quite as well, he doesn't have an ability to create his own shot until he gets into the lane, and then it gets a little crafty under the basket. But he's not really a shot creator, and they're putting good defenders on him, they're being handsy, and they're making it very difficult for Ty to go. And I think Darius takes a lot of pressure off of Ty in instances where he's now on the court with either an actual Donovan Mitchell that isn't completely just burned out, and alongside Darius Garland, who can create his own shot. You don't have the best defender or second best defender at all times on Ty Jerome. You get to spread that out a little bit, I think, when you get more guys back. Not to mention, Darius takes a lot of the weight off of Donovan's shoulders, especially going into the fourth quarter, how clutch Darius has been. Again, 216-474-0092 if you guys want to jump in. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter. But coming up here in 5 minutes, let's get to the most pressing thing said from our station's guest today on the Station Buzz, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. But some stuff to get to before then. Again, I mean, closing thoughts. I don't think we should be ripping on these guys if they're not playing. I think, honestly, a lot of the annoyance that you have, the frustration, should probably be directed at the Cavs. Because if you're just going to keep labeling guys as questionable, you're telling me those guys should be able to play. That's where the narrative for me has to flip. It's not that these guys are weak. It's not that they don't want to play. It's probably that they can't, and the Cavs should be ruling them out. Again, just like the Warriors did. I know that we don't want to draw that comparison, but no problem with the Warriors labeling out their best player, by the way. The top player on their team, and Steph Curry saying he's not going to be a go for a week. Because that's the intelligent move. There's no competitive advantage between, is this guy going to play? Is he not going to play? It's the same thing we go through every single week with the Cleveland Browns. It's like, no update on this guy. Is he going to play? Is he not? And it's like, yeah, they're holding for a competitive advantage. Well, that got you real far last year, huh? 3 wins. Nice. Makes you feel good. It's the exact same thing with the Cavs. You're looking at them in the playoffs like, oh, well, they could play. Apparently they can suit up. No, they're putting on street clothes. Darius is throwing on the jean jacket and calling it a day. That's the reality of it. But all right, before we get to Daryl, I do want to get to the most prescient things said from our station's guest today. Let's do it with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off here. A man who's going to be on the call for Game 3 on with Kenny today, Ryan Arruco. And he talked about this is really just the first adversity the Cavs have faced in a rather good season.
I don't think anything about what we've seen thus far has indicated that Cleveland is soft. I don't think that that's fair. I think, you know, if you're going to win a championship, if you're going to go to a finals, you're going to have moments of adversity. Cleveland faced some at the end of the regular season, but there wasn't great stake to those moments. This is their first real, you know, crisis moment of what has been a charm season. How do they handle it?
I would love to throw out like a, oh, and no, you don't get it. The Cavs have gone through adversity. Guys, they really haven't. Not a ton of it. Like, in realistic here, being realistic, they have not gone through and really gone through much. They've been healthy throughout the entirety of the year. They're resting guys down the stretch, and we've considered ourselves lucky for that. I don't want to go out and say, oh, well, you know, now the Cavs hit a wall and they just haven't faced it, and that's why they lose. If you want to throw out that narrative, though, it's hard to argue against it. Like, they haven't gone up against anything. The problem is, I would like adversity in my way to be in the form of, hey, those Pacers, really good physical basketball team, and not. So you think you can still beat the 4 seed in the East if you took away 3 of your best players? Like, I would like some fair adversity, right? Or, oh, maybe DeAndre Hunter's down. How do you adjust your lineup? Not two of your top three players are down, and maybe three of your top five. Good luck. Yeah, again, like something to be more the fair form of it. But yeah, hey, the Cavs haven't gone through much this year, but make no mistake, this isn't a team that's just not battle-tested, and that's why they lose. Missing a lot of guys. A lot of guys who are going to have to find their way back quickly. I like the conversation surrounding Kenny Atkinson. A lot more in the things that we can control rather than things we can't. It's exactly what Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, on with Afternoon Drive, focused on at one point today, where he determined whether or not this is a good series for Kenny Atkinson.
I don't think it's been the greatest Kenny series, but I also think there are circumstances surrounding that, right? The other thing that I think we have to consider here is that Rick Carlisle is one of the best coaches in the NBA. He is a tactical genius. He has done this before to great coaches, including Eric Spoelstra in the NBA Finals. He has been in a lot more playoff games than Kenny Atkinson, and his roster is full strength, whereas Kenny is limited at this point in time. So I do think there are things that he would like to have back, and there are tactical things that he hasn't done as well as certainly he did in the Miami series and during the regular season. But I also think that he's being put in a difficult position given what's available to him and what's not. In saying all of that, he's got to be better going into game three with some of these decisions.
Yeah, I think that there's just a lot that Kenny can clean up. And I have a ton of respect for Rick Carlisle. I thought that Cavs fans probably weren't giving him the respect he deserved. And at times in the NBA, I don't think he gets the respect he deserves as a head coach who manages the game in a very similar fashion to the way that Kenny does, trying to keep his guys rested. I mean, you want to talk about going deep into your bench. Indiana went deep into their bench in game two. And they sat Tyrese Haliburton for long periods of time in that game, so he was ready for the fourth quarter. Okay, Rick Carlisle is a very good coach. And Kenny's probably a guy right now that, yeah, it's a fine series, but he's being outcoached by Rick Carlisle. Right? And a lot of the focus does need to be, here's what you have when you go into the game. You got to make do with what's available to you. And you have to try to find a way to win it. Nobody's, throwing you a pity party right now because the Cavs are hurt. It's not a fair way to look at it. You still got to go out there and compete. You have to make adjustments. I thought the way they played the first quarter was absolutely incredible in the defense that they played on Indiana. You clearly stifled that team in the first quarter. They started to figure things out in the second and third, and then you looked really tired in the fourth. The offense wasn't there. They started getting more open and actually hitting those open shots. And, well, there's no real adjustment for that now, is there? Other than, as Kenny said, maybe going deeper into the bench, playing some guys less minutes, and trying to figure out what on earth you were going to do. But I think that Kenny does have to be better in the situational moments. You have to find a way to keep your players healthy and energized going into that part of the game. And that's now the battle he goes with if you're not going to have these three guys on the floor. Let's keep it rolling here. Let's go to Sam Amico on with Baskin and Phelps today at HoopsWire.com. And as Sam talked about, Kenny Atkinson's reaction to the injuries and what he thinks that sort of means moving forward.
With as angry as Kenny Atkinson is about it being physical, and, you know, we heard his very fair comments on perhaps the line of physicality being crossed, it makes me think that it's not great news because we don't see Kenny Atkinson very sour, or at least this sour, very often.
Yeah, I think Sam's probably right that when you look at the injuries of Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter, at least specifically, and those two guys, now, I don't know that it's necessarily fair. I don't think either of those plays that Evan and DeAndre got hurt on were, like, absolutely egregious. I'll hold it to Jax. Benedict Mathurin did absolutely foul him on that play. But I don't think it was, like, a dirty play by any means. I don't think it was an unruly play where you're like, how could you possibly do that? By no means. It was just a level of physicality. But Kenny Atkinson does not get that mad unless you're pulling away two of his prime players for an extended period of time. I don't know how we're going to see Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter on the floor. I really don't. I just don't think it's going to be possible. And I think Kenny would have been much more reserved. It's like, our guys are going to be out, you know, a game, two games. We'll find a way, make do with it, rather than I might have just lost some of my top guys. for a span of a couple of weeks here, and that's not good. All right, let's talk a little bit of Browns. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic on with Nick and JP today on Afternoon Drive. And he talked about what you got to see from the rookie QBs this year.
Dylan Gabriel's on this team. He's a third-round pick. If you're presuming that Shador makes the team, and I do believe he'll be on this roster, then at least one spot for a veteran. And I just think it's Pickett over Joe because that's who they pursued first. That was their intention. One of the first moves they made was go out and acquire Kenny Pickett, and they gave up a draft pick to get him. I think Kenny Pickett has the highest odds of being the week one starter, but I do think that both rookies are going to play often and play early in the season because you got to find out what you have. Very clearly, they told you without telling you their plan was to go get a quarterback in 2026. So that leaves 1 year to see what you've got in these guys, provided both make the roster, and I believe that they will. And then you see, did you run into something with them? Did you find something that you can move with going forward? Okay, great. Now you've got two first-round picks and your quarterback in place. More than likely, they'll probably be back in the quarterback market still in 2026.
Yeah, that's something that just makes me scratch my head, I'll be honest. When you're looking at it, and I think you do have to play both these rookies, and the Kenny and Joe comments really, at this point, sure, whichever one you really want to go with. I let them go prove it to me, and I'll talk about it then. But between the rookies, it's really interesting that Jason sees it as go get the quarterback in 2026 when you drafted two in 2025. Like, I get it. It was a third, it was a fifth round pick. Wasn't very much, but you also committed two of your draft picks to taking quarterbacks. Dylan Gabriel might be a backup. I don't think Shador Sanders is going to be a long-term backup that you're just dying to have in the room, not with the attention. It's like you probably should try one of those guys if they give you much of anything. I'd be thinking more 2027 for the quarterback market. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in 5 minutes, we'll talk to our very own Cleveland sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. We'll talk Cavs, we'll talk Browns. It's coming your way at 8. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.